To Afghanistan now, where the capital, Kabul, is no longer safe from the advancing Taliban. Yesterday, the Taliban claimed responsibility for a deadly attack at the guest house of Afghanistan's acting defense minister in downtown Kabul. He was not hurt in the attack, but Afghan officials say at least 8 people were killed and another 20 were wounded. This attack is considered one of the largest to happen in the country's capital in months. Let's bring in now Susanna George. She's the Washington Post Afghanistan bureau chief, and she's in Kabul. Susanna, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, describe the situation in Kabul today, would you? It's been relatively peaceful there for some time, right?
It has. There have been a few large-scale attacks over the past few months. This is the first one that the Taliban claimed responsibility for, and so that's what made it so significant. And while the capital has been relatively peaceful, it's definitely very tense. People are on edge because violence across the country, mostly other rural areas, is raging and escalating by the day.
But how significant is it that the Taliban is now able to reach right into the heart of the capital?
Well, Afghan officials have been saying for months now that the Taliban have been active inside Kabul. The Afghan capital experienced a wave of targeted killings carried out by much smaller explosives than the explosives that were used in the large-scale attack that the Taliban claimed responsibility for. And so the attack on the acting defense minister wasn't really an indication of the Taliban's ability to reach the heart of the capital. It was more of a sign to Afghan officials that they're able to reach the capital with a large, complex attack. That attack used a large amount of explosives and was followed by gunmen that entered the building.
What does a large, complex, coordinated attack indicate to you?
It indicates that the Taliban has the resources and the supply lines to get not only the munitions and the material that's needed to carry out that kind of attack into the capital, but also to get the fighters into the capital. So the fact that they were able to do that was meant to send a message to leaders in Kabul of their strength and that they're able to not only carry out attacks across the country, put pressure on provincial capitals, but also carry out such a large attack that required so much planning and effort inside the heart of Kabul.
An interesting message at a time when the Taliban and the Afghan government have been participating in peace talks without much progress so far. How far apart are the two sides?
So some people will say the fact that the talks haven't completely fallen apart is a good sign. But the two sides really haven't even begun talking about serious issues. They haven't really begun discussing a ceasefire in a real serious way. They haven't started talking about the details of what kind of a government could come to Afghanistan, you know, things like civil liberties, women's rights. And so we don't really know how far apart they are because they haven't really started talking about the really important issues that are going to shape the future of Afghanistan once violence subsides.
How much of the country, Susanna, is now controlled by the Taliban?
Well, since this last phase of the U.S. Military withdrawal began, the Taliban have really swept south from Kabul along the main highway that connects the north of the country to the south of the country, and then they moved north. And now they control about half the districts in all of Afghanistan.
The Afghan government and the Taliban at some point seem to agree that there should be some form of power sharing in a new government. But I'm reading the U.S. Special Envoy saying this week that the Taliban is demanding the lion's share of power. I mean, can these two sides even reach agreement?
Well, the Taliban are making steady gains. And so it's not surprising that they feel that those battlefield gains should translate into more political power. But as it stands, they really disagree on a lot of fundamental issues about how to transition from the government that exists right now to any sort of future government. And it's that method of transition that's holding things up right now.
So with the U.S. leaving, is there any prospect now of regional players like Turkey or Russia or even China playing some kind of role in stabilizing the situation?
Well, these countries are all definitely looking to play a larger role in Afghanistan, and some of them have already made moves too. But whether or not those roles will be stabilizing or will have a positive impact on the security situation, that remains to be seen.
Susanna George is the Washington Post's Afghanistan bureau chief. And Here and Now and the Washington Post have created a new partnership to deepen our global news coverage. Susanna, thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.